Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, my brothers, and good evening, my sisters, and welcome to another episode of the PRF Table. I'm one of your hosts, Brother Dunlap. Also sitting at the table is Sister Adia Sanders. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good. I'm glad to be here.
Very good, very good. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're having a pretty much another conversation from where we were last week. I can tell you, Adia, that there was a lot of response online, and I was able to go back and check out those who have been listening via the archives, and we had a lot of people that really tuned in to our previous show. So tonight, the night show is savings, successful, simple strategies, and that's what we want to talk about tonight, successful and simple strategies for saving, because last week we talked about the wisdom of engaging or the engagement of wisdom when it comes to savings, and we just couldn't get it all out last week, Adia. And as soon as we ended the show last week, Adia said, yeah, part two. So here we are bringing you a part two, hopefully with a little more information than we provided with you last week. And we encourage you to jump on in and press one on your phone if you're listening via phone or if you're monitoring us and listening to us online. Jump on the Facebook page at possessions.resources.finances and throw out your questions and your comments so we can hear what's on your mind. So with that, last week there was a couple of scriptures that we dealt with, and one of them was Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 to 25, and the other one was Proverbs verse 6, verses 8 through 11. And with those scriptures, and they, I'll come to you next, with those scriptures, really the scriptures was talking about the ant. And we had a lot of good conversation about the ant and how small the ant is, but the wisdom of the ant and what the ant actually does to make sure that it prepares for the wintertime by gathering food in the summer. So, Adia, did you have anything that you wanted to kind of recap or bring to the table before we move on and just go a little bit further with it tonight?
Only thing I would just like to highlight is that, you know, it really starts with just making a decision. And really to understand that it's more mental than it is in the action of doing it, because it's easier to talk about things that we want to do than sometimes to get that jump start in doing it. So just to continue to encourage everybody that it's not too late, regardless of what you may think, it's not too late to start saving. But you have to, once you make the decision, which I know we talked about some like several months ago, about making the decisions is just mm-hmm. to stick with it and understand that, you know, it really takes discipline, and sometimes that's not always easy, especially if you're not used to doing it. And you just have to keep working at it and don't beat yourself up, don't condemn yourself, but just take the leap of faith and know that it's going to help propel you to your future so that you can be a blessing to other people.
And that is so true, Adia, what you said about discipline. And I, as I'm sitting here in my office and I'm looking around, I have a note on my desk. And on this note, I have a couple of words, and I may have mentioned this before on a show or two. And one of those two words that I wrote down or a guy gave to me or spoke to me in my heart was from May 26, 2011. The first word was productive. And the second word is discipline. So every time I sit down at my desk, I have this half sheet of paper that has those two words on it. And it's a constant reminder that I have to constantly be disciplined. Now notice that there's nothing else attached to that word discipline, right? It's just the word discipline. It's up to me as an individual to attach something to that word discipline. If I as the individual attach something to that word discipline, I'm more likely to be disciplined in that area. So I'm glad to hear that you brought that out, because I think it's so relevant, especially in this area of savings. And I don't think, Adia, that, and to our listeners, that when you said about being disciplined, that's to imply that somebody is not disciplined. A lot of it in my opinion, has to do with lack of knowledge, which is why we're talking about successful and simple strategies on tonight's show. Because, again, last week we dealt with engaging the wisdom of savings and what is the Word of God say about savings. And as I was teaching Bible study last night, I was telling my brothers and my sisters, God doesn't need a whole lot sometimes to get our attention.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes God can, I'm a firm believer, and anybody, if you could think about this show, Adia, we don't come out with 15 and 20 scriptures to try to get a point about savings is a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes what we have, and I just attribute this to the educational system, the traditional educational system that we have in our country and even sometimes within our churches, it becomes this notion that I got to give you a whole lot so that you can know, because I gave you 12 scriptures, that is really, really relevant. Really, I don't need all that. So if we can just be one or two so that you can meditate on those, maybe commit them to memory, get them in your head so it can get down into your heart, and then when you're engaging in conversation with somebody, you are more readily to be able to pull out something that you've been meditated on versus saying, you know what, now you're mixing up three or four scriptures sounding crazy. just a thought, ladies and gentlemen, just a thought. So let me do this. Let me look just for those who did not catch us last week. In Proverbs 6, verse 6, it starts off and it says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. They have no prince, no governor, no ruler to make them work. They labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. A very, very good scripture that you can get down and meditate on and get down in your spirit and let God speak to you about that. We had a couple of strategies last week, Adia. One of them was purpose in your mind and in your heart that you can, capital letters, that you can build up your savings.
Mm-hmm.
The other strategy that we brought to you last week, for those who are just listening or missed it last week, was acknowledge that you don't have enough savings saved up, because sometimes there's a lot of people that don't realize they have a little bit of money, but they don't realize that they don't have enough money for some things. So case in point, a person may have $1,000 in their savings account, and for some people that's a lot of money in their savings. However, if you think about what your lifestyle is like, if you think about some of the possessions that you have, if you're riding around in a luxury car, but the only thing that you have is $1,000 saved up, and your car does not have a warranty on this luxury car, that $1,000 could be sucked up just like that. So it's really important for people to realize, you know what, let me take an assessment of what I have going on so that I can say, okay, now, well, if something happens to the car, then, you know, this is how much maintenance costs. You know, some car, I remember we drove, I had a BMW 745 IL at one point in time, and it was $100 for an oil change. So, in the way that we were driving that car, we was getting oil changed probably about every 2 months. Okay, having $1,000 in the savings, how fast is that $1,000 being dwindling down over a couple of months? So what we have to do is be able to say, okay, we know we may have to pull money out for the savings, but we're also going to have some type of plan to put in place to begin putting money back into it. Because if you keep taking from it and never put anything into it, eventually you're going to be on zero.
Mm-hmm.
So again, for those of you who are just listening, tonight we're talking about savings, and in particular, successful and simple strategies. And for those who may not have been with us last week, again, this is a continuation of the show from last week, which was Engage the Wisdom of Savings. So here's a couple of thoughts that I heard last week that I wanted us to speak about. And today we may have our show may only last about 30 minutes, but we're going to let God do everything that he's able to do within the allotted time. One of the things that we talked about last week, Adia, was, and I brought it up, and I mentioned from reading the scriptures that we read, that it was unnatural for us. I mentioned that it was not in our DNA. And Adia, you got me good. But sometimes when we hear things, so I'm just saying it out loud on the air, you know, I just really didn't agree with that. To your point, that God did create us with the ability to be able to do it. And so I definitely was not trying to circumvent the authority and the power of God at all. But I was able to see it after the show was over and after I went back and listened to the show and said, okay, God, I see exactly what she was talking about. So God has placed the natural ability in us to be able to do all the things that we need for survival, which having a savings is also about survival, and it's also about growth, even if we haven't been taught those things, Adia. So you are God was 100% on the mark, and I was the one that was off the mark because I just didn't catch it. I just didn't catch it. So I'll go ahead and let you go ahead and throw something back at us on that one, since it was God that spoke to you even though we weren't listening.
Well, the only thing that I wanted to just add was that, you know, I liked what you said when you asked the question when you're in your winter season, because if you haven't saved enough, because sometimes it's not that people have not saved, but maybe they haven't saved enough, and so things are going to be a little bit tight, and so I guess the only thing that I would like to add with, because I think we do have the natural ability to save, is just the making up the mind to do it and then actually doing it, the action, the verb part of it, that is very challenging.
Right, right.
And so I just wanted to talk about when you're in that winter season, the best analogy that I said I brought up was that I saw like a vision of a tree in the wintertime with snow on the ground. And what I learned as it relates to gaining wisdom and saving is that sometimes, like that tree in the wintertime that has no leaves on it and is just bare, the tree is still alive. And so because there's still life in that tree, that just like because we may not have enough savings or have no savings, we're still alive, which means that there's always the opportunity to start to save. But what I just wanted to highlight was that what that tree represents as in relation to saving or wisdom in saving or successful tips in saving is, one, is to understand that trees go through a period of dormancy. Just and we go through it, too, in different stages in our lives. And what that dormancy is, it's a kind of armored sleep that plants go through. And basically is that the dormancy is not dormant just means that something is not visibly active. So though you may not have savings, your mind is still visibly active on, I know I need to save. I know I need to start putting money aside. I have a desire to do it. But sometimes it's not visible to the eye where people can see it. People may see your situation and say, man, you know, they're still living like this. Or, you know, every time I turn around, they're spending money and instead of saving money. But sometimes we can't visibly see what people are going through because they may not say anything. And because of bad habits, because of how we were raised a lot of times, what we're doing is not always an inward reflection of what we're thinking and what we really want. And so I wanted to just talk about that visibly, what that dormancy means is that it's not visibly active. So people have a lot of thoughts about saving. They're actively thinking. To the natural eye, to the outsider looking in, they can't see that. The other thing that I just wanted to talk about was, you know, why is a tree bearing during the winter time? Why is it sometimes during our winter seasons, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, the cold season, but during those barren seasons where our savings are low or we don't even have any because we've never even attempted to try, how is it that we still survive? How is that we can still wake up every morning and provide food, clothing, and shelter for ourselves or for our children, even though we don't have savings? And so I just wanted to kind of just look at that part to say that what is normally going on is that those trees, it's a slow process. And so sometimes our process is slow. And when trees go through that process, it's kind of similar to hibernation, and again, I alluded to the word dormancy, and that's what keeps the trees alive during the winter. So that dormancy that we may experience at some point in time in our lives until we decide to make that decision that we don't want to be dormant, we no longer just want to appear to not be active, even though in our minds we are constantly thinking about ways to do stuff, but we just haven't implemented it. What's going on is that we don't need a lot of food in the winter. Trees don't need a lot of food in the winter. And so there's no use for them to, there's not a need for a lot of energy to be burned up. And what happens is that there's some pruning that needs to take place. Because we want to be able to prepare that once we come out of that winter season, we want to be prepared for the spring or the summertime or the harvest time, whatever you want to call it. And so during that time, that's the time that we can prune off some things in our lives and begin to reflect to what people cannot visibly see and begin to say, what can I do to put things in action? If it's no more than writing it down, if it's no more than sharing it with somebody to say, hey, I don't have savings. And we know, you know, what they say with the little step programs is the first thing to first step is to acknowledge that there is an issue and be able to talk to somebody and say, you know what, I'm embarrassed about telling you this, but I don't have savings, but I want to get there, and I don't know how. And so that these are things that we can do in that dormancy stage in our lives, so that when the harvest time comes, we've already began, and we no longer have to worry about being unstable. We no longer have to worry about what tomorrow is going to bring, because we understand that when we save, that God has blessed us with the finances or the resources or our possessions so that we can be a blessing to other people. And I just really wanted to talk more about that and just to give the analogy of how we can still survive during our winter months or our winter seasons, and to understand that if you just let it run its course, but you're actively, even in your dormancy stage, that you're actively, visibly active, doing something, even though other people can't see it, that when you come out of that winter season, people will begin to see that you have been doing something and you just weren't sitting there like a tree that's in the winter months that's just standing there. But there are things that are going on that we can't see, and I hope I didn't ramble too much because I kind of feel like I did.
Oh, not at all, not at all. That was some very good wisdom. And I like the last thing that you said. Well, two things that you said I really, really liked. That trees go through a slow process, but they're still alive. So for me, Adia, what you've just communicated to the listeners was a thing of encouragement, because if we're not encouraged in this area, a lot of us are not going to do it. I don't think savings became something very, very important to me and something that I was encouraged to do until things got really, really bad. Mm-hmm. So there's some people that are in good shape right now that just need that, could have just been just that little bit of push that they actually needed to say, you know what, we're all right now, but maybe we don't have enough. Or maybe I don't have enough, so let me step it up a little bit. Another part that I like what you said was about being actively, invisibly active, even if you don't see it. You know, sometimes I may see it for somebody and see things that they can't see. So if I'm able to see something that you can't see, then now I have a little have a very big responsibility that is upon me to be able to say something to somebody else to try to help them whenever I'm able to see something that you as my brother or my sister is not able to see. So those are some very good points. And what we want to do for the rest of the show is really just talk a bit about some more strategies. Because what I heard you say one time or a couple of times was you said the word how. Mm-hmm. And everybody who knows me knows that I'm big on the how. Because if we don't have an understanding of how something is going to happen, I'm not talking about not having faith, but let me give it to you plain. If a person is in need of a job, they need to know how to apply, because God is not going to all of a sudden have somebody to call you out of the blue and say, come to my office today, I have a job for you. Don't know too many instances of God doing it like that, but I do know a lot of instances where individuals had to fill out an application, had to learn how to write a resume. And by doing the how, I think it equips people to be able to implement these different types of strategies for not just this particular area but others. And one of the strategies that I had prepare for the show was initiate an inquiry. So I asked this question. Who do you know that has a savings? One of the greatest ways to do something is to deal with somebody who's already done it. There's a lot of people sitting within my church that I'm sure have savings. And I'm sure there's several people that do not have savings within my church. But if nobody ever asks the question, hey, how did you do it? Remember last week I talked about we were coming back from Nashville the week before, and I heard on the radio somebody was talking about, yeah, we paid off our home in $145,000 home in 3 years. Man, that's good. But I'm not impressed. What will impress me is if you be real about how you did it. Mm-hmm. Don't just tell me about you got to the end of the road. Talk to me about how you actually did it, because if you tell me how you did it, I do have the ability to be able to communicate with God and say, okay, God, should I be doing the same type of thing that Brother Dunlap did? Should I use this same type of strategy? If I'm able to communicate that I possibly able to use this same type of strategy, maybe it'll work for me, maybe it won't, but at least it's worth having something to be able to go to God for. So that is one of them. Initiate the inquiry. That's the one that you brought up. For me, I think what is a very important one is ask somebody how to save. It's not just important on how they did it or the fact that they did it, but how did they do it? How did you do it? For example, is it feasible or can you see where using some of the same strategies or steps that somebody else took to begin saving will be vital? I do. It may be easier for somebody who has a savings to not remember how they got started. So if you've been saving for the last 15, 20 years, that person may not remember how they first got started saving. So if they're not able to remember how they got started saving and focus on the fact that I just was mentioning, well, you know what? You know, I've been saving for the last 15 years, and now I have $20,000 in the bank. Again, that does not impress me. I would rather somebody say, you know what? I had to cut out something. We had to stop going to the movies twice a month. We had to go to the dollar movie versus going to the regular movie that cost $12.50. So we went to the dollar movie, or we started going to the matinees. You know, those are the simple things, Adia, that I think are out there for us, but sometimes we just have to ask people. And again, a lot of things begins with relationship, right? If I don't know who you are, meaning going back to that part that you talked about, initiating that inquiry, but sometimes we have to put it out there. Hey, if anybody wants to know how to save, come talk to me. I got some strategies or some tips that I've been able to use that's been successful. Again, I don't have to tell you how much I have saved up, but if I can provide some knowledge to you, then it has the ability to be able to work in your life. So did you have anything else that you wanted to bring up, Adia?
One thing I do want to just ask a question, and I don't know if it's maybe more of a question or a statement, but I was sharing this with other people because I really thought it was a good show that we had on last week. And one of the things that I was talking about with one of my friends, and he said that for some people it can be a learned behavior. We have the desire to save, because I think if we did a survey on how many people would love to save, I think everybody's hand would go up if we asked 1,000 people. But if you ask people if they knew how to save, which you alluded to, I think a lot of hands would go down, that they don't know how to. So some things we have to learn how to do, and I think there's definitely a difference with having a desire and knowing how to do what your desire is. And so that's where the wisdom comes in, and that's how you gain the wisdom, because sometimes people just don't know how to do things. I have a girlfriend of mine, and she said, Adia, because of how I grew up, and, you know, seeing, you know, family members struggle, you know, my mom working, you know, two jobs to take care of me and my sister. She said for me, it was so easy to save because of what I saw growing up. And no one taught her how. But for other people,
they may have to, it has to be a learned behavior. So that was just one thing that I, you know, just talking to other people and just kind of, you know, was telling them about the show, was that some people have to learn how to do whatever it is that they're desiring. And I think that if we can get to that point that now we're in a, I think we, a lot of times, I can be in the mode to receive, because not only do I have a desire to do something, but I also have, like Matthew 5 says, I have that hunger and thirst for it as well. And when you want something bad enough, you don't care who knows how messed up you are and what you haven't done. You just realize and understand that I need to get it because there's a bigger purpose behind it. It's bigger than you. And so I think that it's important to also to understand that there's definitely a difference between having a desire to want something, you know, hey, I have a big desire to save, but also understanding that sometimes people have to, we have to learn it. We have to learn mm-hmm. how to, and if we don't do that, all we will ever have is a desire to do something or a dream that is either deferred or never comes to pass. And I think it's, you know, in settings like this, that is definitely beneficial and just needed. And hopefully we'll continue to talk about this, about, you know, maybe putting some stuff out there, you know, set things that people can maybe do that are, like you said, simple enough that even a caveman can do it.
I like that idea. I like it. So if you're just joining us, again, tonight's show, we're talking about successful and simple strategies for saving, successful and simple strategies for saving. So we have a caller that has just joined on the line, caller with the last four of 6983. Welcome to the PRF table.
Hey, how's it going? Glad to be back again.
Hey, how's it going, my brother?
Hey, I'm doing okay.
What you got for it? What you got for it?
Yes, I was just listening to the part about saving, and you know, one of the things that stands out, you know, it's like, I'll use this. If I told you to save so much money for a year, and at the end of the year, I would turn around and give you $1 million. I think that desire would make that many people actually take you up on the offer because they see a end effect. And I think that's what it is. A lot of times people struggle with the whole identity to save because they don't see, you know, they're so stuck. They're at a low level and they don't see the end of the tree, going back to Adia's earlier analogy about the tree, and they don't see the rest of the leaves. They just see the roots, but they don't see the tree actually growing out of the ground. So they're like, okay, what's going to happen if I'm doing this? I don't see anything. You know, like you said, brought up the person that said, hey, I paid off my house in 3 years. Okay. They had a goal. You know, even though we don't know how they did it, but they had a goal. They saw the end of it and said, okay, this is my goal. And that's where many people struggle. They don't see it because the minute that, say, that car tears up and they got to go in that savings, and now they say, well, I can't do that anymore because I just never know if that, you know, that BMW is not working. And I think that's one of the hardest concepts for people to grasp. But I'll share one thing that I've tried, you know, when you say give a method, one method that I was sharing with some other people a couple years ago, and they asked, like, okay, so how do you go on vacation and you never worry about it? Well, one of the things that I've always done is I start saving for that vacation right after I finish that previous vacation. So if you put, that's my end goal, like, hey, I'm going on vacation. I have no idea where I may go, but I have a certain amount that I say I'm going to put in here every single month. And that portion of an account I never touch. So by the time vacation gets there, I've already paid for it, and I'm not sitting there worrying about it. So that's, you know, that's one method. You know, when people say, hey, how do you save? You know, it's easy to talk about it. It's easier for us to pull up things and say, this is what I want to do. But show me how your saving actually works. Show me how it'll work for me. You know, it doesn't matter if your vacation is just going to see your aunt an hour away. If right. your income is at that level that you have to save enough for that gas money, you know, hey, I want I need $100 to be able to get a hotel and pay for gas to go see my aunt. Well, if I'm saving $10 for 10 months, then, hey, I just made what I needed to finance that vacation. And now, hey, great. So now I can take it into another step. Okay, I showed that I can save for that. Now I can keep growing. I want to save for something else. You know, don't stop at that one level. So once you achieve that one goal, find another goal. And that's what we have to do, because we get so caught up in saying, okay, if I meet that goal, then what's the next goal? And we'll be better off if people can see multiple goals, but don't try to lump them all in together, because if you lump them in together, then you will have a problem, because it would get clouded. But if you just take that one goal at a time and just keep persevering, I think you won't have that many issues.
That's an excellent point. And that kind of goes with the last part, what you were saying, going from goal to goal, and it can get kind of cloudy if you don't have a separation, I would say. One of the things we mentioned last week about a strategy, which this to me it ties into it, was, you know, decide what type of savings you want or what type of savings you need. Is it an emergency savings? Is it reserve savings? And I would say to yours, you can call it whatever you want, a fund savings, a vacation savings, you know. I want to buy a TV savings, you know, whatever it is that third one. And I think that what you just mentioned adds a third one to what I said as far as an emergency or reserve. And I think I only focused on reserve and emergency because those are ones that I kind of see people struggling with more so than anything. I think sometimes it's easier to save for a vacation than it is to say, you know what, let me save for a rainy day. And again, this is my experience, you know, teaching in this field. But all three of them are relative, because somebody may have emergency savings but don't save up money for a vacation. And I think that plays another big role. If you never save up for a vacation and you don't think you have the money or the ability to save for a vacation, you never go on a vacation. I can tell you, when my wife and I got married, she said one of her critical things that she said on her list was we got to go on vacation every year. I was like, wow, you know, that's kind of interesting. So as a husband, guess what? It's not about we're going to go put this on a credit card and get into debt because she put it off the bill. Look, we got to go on vacation every year. We got to have that getaway time. So I have that goal. She said it. She established it, and we've been successful in doing it. And even though when we go on vacation, especially when we're in foreign countries or whatever, we may put it on a credit card, but we have the money to pay right off when we come back. So we're not incurring any debt, because we've already done the groundwork from the beginning. So, Brother DeJuan, I'm going to leave your mic open, brother, if you want to just stick around, and I'm going to go to this next caller who has been patiently waiting on the line. Caller with the last port of 2023. Welcome to the PR table.
Thank you. This is Shatara.
Hey, how you doing
this
evening?
How are y'all doing? I'm good. How are y'all? Just a
great,
little hoarse,
great,
so y'all have to try to bear with me.
Because you've been traveling all around the world, I think.
Something like that.
I got you.
But hey,
well,
I've been saving, so I'm able to do that because I'm saving. So,
really?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how you got to that point of being able to, you know, go up to all these places that you decided you want to go.
Well, honestly, the way I did it is, throughout the years, this is the way that worked for me. Whenever I got a raise, I put my raise away because I was used to living without it anyway. So when you get that extra, you don't need it. You can manage without it because you've been managing without it. So that money you put to the side. And I don't just put it in a savings account. I put it in like I put it in a Roth IRA. I put it in money market and accounts, depending on, you know, mutual funds. So depending on, you know, what your level of savings that's desired, there's always a way to make that money work for you. But my point is that I've been living without it, and I've been making, you know, paying my bills and doing fine without that money. So that's considered extra. And I always keep that as extra. Put it in another account and let it work for me. That money makes money for me. So that contributes to my emergency fund as well as my vacation fund.
Interesting, interesting.
Yeah.
You know, the
and
thing,
then I also want to go ahead. I'm sorry.
The thing that I like about this, about what we're talking about, is there is not, and hopefully I'm thinking everybody sees this, there is not just one strategy for everybody. There's different things that so many of us have that we're able to do for ourselves. So if we just seek God, what can I do? You know, maybe the next time somebody gets a raise, they're going to remember what they heard you just say and say, you know what, I've been all right without it, so let me just put that to the side. They
right.
may not
and,
put
and,
it in the roster away, you know, but they put it away somewhere. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And there's always going to be the sense that you need to spend that raise, but you got to evaluate
yeah.
whether you really do. Because
right.
we can always figure out how to spend money. But if you absolutely
right.
don't need it and it's not an emergency, then just put it away. And whatever it is that you're just desiring to spend that money on, you'll figure out a way to get it anyway without spending that raise. And
mm-hmm.
I also wanted to say that just piggyback on what Sister Adia said about the hunger and thirst, but you actually have not just have to have a hunger and thirst for a vacation per se, but you have to have the hunger and thirst to learn how to get to the vacation. And if it means
good.
That you have to skip those Starbucks macchiatos, caramel macchiatos, you know, and buy your own coffee and make coffee in the morning at the house, then that's what you have
mm-hmm.
to do if you have a goal of having a vacation at the end of the year. Because you'd be surprised how much those little things that we just waste money on, how much it adds up to be at the end of the year. So just Starbucks, just the coffee, you know, buying a coffee or going to McDonald's and buying a, you know, pancake breakfast, it adds up. So saving, you know, that way. And then the last thing I wanted to mention was the 52-week money challenge that I've been seeing going on around on Facebook.
Right.
Basically, you save a dollar for the first week. So whatever number week you're in for the year, that's how many dollars you save. And at the end of the year, you'll have over $1,000 saved. So like $1,300 saved. And that's a start for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
right.
you know, a lot of people lose that much over the course of a year if you're not careful with your money. So a dollar starts you out, and you can, you know, it may be a sacrifice as you get closer to week 52, depositing $52 in your account. But when you look at the course of the year and you see, wow, I have $1,300 in the savings account. And I, you know, in the beginning of the year, you probably thought you couldn't do it. But you start with $1. And so that seems small enough to start with, but even halfway through the year, you start to see the fruit, you know. So you just got to start small, but you have to have the thirst to do it, and you have to have the focus to do it.
All right.
That's what I wanted to say.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Go ahead, Adi. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say I like what Shatara said about, you know, if you know that you have a goal. Also going back to what Dewan said, if you have a goal set, I would just like to add, you know, share that goal with somebody that you know is going to support you, because sometimes we need a support system, because we know that if we're so used to spending all the time that, and we haven't gotten to that stage of discipline, because it does take a while for that behavior to change, because now we're talking about changing the mindset as well. Share with somebody that's going to support you. And I think adding to that, you know, by having the goal, having the support system that's going to encourage you, that even if you're taking that money that you would normally spend on a Starbucks coffee or breakfast, if you maybe are not going to put it in the bank, you know, get a bucket, something that either you know you can't get into unless you break it open, or you know, give it to somebody else that you can trust that will hold that money for you, so that you can, that will help you reach your goal. And sometimes I think that you just have to be dogmatic. You just have to be dogmatic, and you have to have tenacity, and you just have to say, no matter what, I'm not going to let go until I reach my goal. And I think that in a combination of all of those things, that you will when you see can do it, it will encourage you to say, you know what, if I can do it this time, I can do it again.
and you now you're now that you encourage yourself and your self-confidence is up, you begin to now you're building a pattern and in changing that behavior and that mindset from not being able to do something to now knowing that you can do it, and you have a support system, and now you have able to share that with somebody else, you know, about what you did. And I like what Shatara said about doing what works for you. I mean, we got millions of books and articles and videos and seminars and conferences, you know, that talk about saving. But the bottom line, I think, for some people, that what works for you is what you have to do. And sometimes it might be rigged, you know, get some duct tape around how you're going to save. And that will work for a season until you get a good foundation on saving. And now, you know, you can begin to implement those other things that are out there because you have a good running start. And because it can be overwhelming for some people to, I know for me, you start talking to me about stocks and shares and you have lost me. Unless you have a book that says stocks and shares for dummies, you have lost me. I need things that are simplified so that it will keep my attention. But once you have my attention, it's just like, oh, it's that easy? Guess what? I'm ready to do it now. And I think a lot of times, too, from fear, fear of the unknown, which you don't know, you know, you tend not to do. But once you get the knowledge, and that knowledge now is, like, illuminated to you to where you understand it and you grasp the concept, it's just like, man, I could have been doing this 10 years ago. But you didn't know what you didn't know, and sometimes we allow fear to blind us so that we can't do those things that we need to do. And I've just, you know, really enjoyed the show on tonight. And, Nate, I'm going to get out of here so I can listen to my son blow his baritone horn. And I just thank you so much for everything that everybody has said. And, you know, if we ever do a recap of this show, I look forward to sharing with everybody and to also hearing from people what they've done to start saving, and maybe some goals that they've set. And I think this would be a great show to definitely do in maybe the next, I don't know, maybe 3-6 months, just to see if people, if it encouraged people enough to start doing something, or at least to even in your dormant stage, to still be active, even though other people can't see it. And with that, I'm going to say good night and have a good, a blessed evening, everyone.
Okay. Shatara, I know you wanted to jump back in. And so let me say this, Adia, as you get ready to go. Next week I have a conference that I'm going to be at. So next week we'll let you go ahead and continue on, and we'll just do a part three. And what I'll do is I'll post what you just said. You know, what goals have you set when it comes to saving, and what have you actually done? And then hopefully we'll get some participation on our individual Facebook pages and also on the Possessions Our Resources, our finances page. So we look forward to seeing you next week, cousin. So, Shatara, go ahead. I know you had a comment that you wanted to bring out.
That's actually what I was going to say, is that you have to
all
start
right.
small. For somebody, they may need to start small and make their goal small. So if you're not used to saving at all, maybe you start with $100. I want to save $100, and you may have to start with $1 a day or $1 a week. And then when
right.
you get to that $100, if there's something that you wanted for yourself and it takes you, well, let's say $2 a week, because, you know, it's a long time to save $100 at $1 a week. But so $2 a week, at the end of the year, you'll have your $100. If there was something that you wanted for $100, at the end of the year, when you get what you actually wanted, that's like meeting your goal. You set a goal and you met your goal. That feeling is so powerful that you can raise your goal for the next time. Or maybe your next goal will be $300. And so you'll be more more inclined, I'll say, to press towards that next goal that you set. And then that helps set the habit. You know, like Sister Adia was saying, that it's hard for some people to break one habit and get into the habit of, you know, another, something like saving. So start small. Don't you know, be unrealistic with it. And a lot of times, I actually just came back from a conference, and they were talking about setting SMART goals, which is specific, measurable, attainable, star. Realistic.
Realistic
in time with a time constraint. So if you use the SMART idea for setting your goal, you set the time, you make it specific, make sure it's measurable. If you say you want $100, you want to get that dress for $100, and okay, I have to save $100. That's your measure, $100. Make sure it's attainable. It's something you can do. So if you say I save $2 a week for a year, and I can get that dress at the end of the year, then that's realistic. But if you say, oh, I'm going to get that dress next week, and you know the rent is due next week, and you can't, you know, come out $100 when the rent is due, that's unrealistic. But you set that time and say, okay, at the end of the year, I'm going to have $100 in the bank. You do all of those steps and start with what you can start with. Then, you know, at the end of that time frame, you see what you've done, and again, you'll be encouraged to press even further. So, and Sister Adiam also mentioned that, you know, talking stocks and bonds is, you know, like it's foreign to her. It was foreign to me at one time. But just like that that hunger and thirst, if it's something that you feel like, you know, and if people are their money is making money for them. So instead of them working, you can have an avenue for the money to work for you. So if that's something that you're interested in, then that thirst and hunger needs to kick in and just take a little bit of time out. Nobody's expecting you to be on Wall Street, you know, next year, but you read a little bit about it and start small. Again, with penny stocks, again, start small, make it realistic and attainable. And who knows? Mm-hmm. Once you get started, that's the hard part because the fear, like she mentioned, fear is the thing that stands between you and whatever it is you want. So on the other side of fear is everything that you desire on the other side of fear. You just have to get over that. So that's what
like
I want to
do. Hey, Nate, I'd like to add something to that also.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. It's to piggyback on what Sarah said and also what Adia said, because one of the things I share with her is when you're looking at that goal and you're also looking at fear, a lot of us have that fear because we don't know anything about it. And one of the things I shared with Adia was that I saw my parents struggle, but I lived with my uncle for a time, and one of the things that I saw was, you know, he was an officer in the Navy, and my auntie, she worked for the government. And I told her how every weekend I would see the postman coming up to the house, and my auntie would pull out this bag. She was getting savings funds, and it came every week. And it didn't hit me, but as I kept getting older and older, I was like, wow. So when I came back and I lived with them as I was going to college, they sat down and they talked with me in more detail about, hey, you know, you thought about getting stock with McDonald's. You thought about Exxon. Hey, you work for Sam's Club. You know, you can get stock with Walmart, because my uncle, when he got out of the Navy, he had worked for Walmart for a time. So I had somebody finally sharing with me. And when we were talking about those goals, and Adia mentioned, hey, tell somebody your goal. Well, it doesn't just go with, hey, so somebody can keep you on track, but you never know. You may be a blessing to somebody else. Because they didn't know that goal. They didn't know. They had the fear of it. But now you just told them something, and that kind of removed that fear that they had, because it's something they had never experienced. They only saw people struggle. And now somebody actually came to them and said, hey, this is what I'm doing. You know, because I was sure. I was like, hey, I don't think about it when, you know, Satara mentioned how you can get that pay raise and put it to the side. And that's kind of how I thought about when I was doing the stocks with Exxon, because I remember when I first started with Exxon was $36 a share. Back in December, it was $104. But I've continuously put money into that stock. So even though I started when I was like 20, now it's something great, because now I see that bigger picture. But when I was putting that $42, all I saw was, that's $42, that I don't have anymore. But when you put 10 years, 12 years to it, now people start seeing the bigger picture. And And that's what that fear, because the biggest thing with saving or investing is you got to start. You know, we can talk about things all, you know, all night long, but until you actually put, you know, some pen to the paper and start doing something, then we'll still be in that same vicious cycle. And I was like that friend that Adil mentioned. I wanted to make sure that I didn't have that same struggle that I saw my parents. You know, the bill collector calling the house. It's like, why is this man always calling the house? Why are they ignoring? Why are they hiding these bills? Why is this same bill? Why are they adding additional late fees to this bill? Because I, as a college student, I did get that one time where I had got a $500 credit card because they gave you a candy bar and said, "Hey, get this credit card."
And that's right.
It sounded great until that additional interest got on, and finally, you know, I was able to pay it off. I worked with them and told them, "Like, hey, all I got coming in is my GI bill. So work with me." In terms of saving, that's something that I would also like to share with the audience. Don't be afraid to call when you owe money to somebody. Don't ignore the phone calls, because it may seem like a dire situation, but you'll be amazed what you'll get if you just pick up the phone and talk to them and explain your situation. It's not that you're making excuses, because I had a legitimate, all I had was a GI bill, I had a kid, I didn't really have a job, I was in ROTC, and I said, hey, this is all I got coming in. They worked the plan with me and said, hey, okay, can you pay $60 a month? We'll remove all the late fees and the extra, you know, fees, because we understand your situation. And I did it. 6 months later, after, because they gave it for 6 months. 6 months later, they said, well, we're going to go ahead and renew that again since you did so well. So then finally I got commissioned, and I was able to pay the whole thing off. Then Discover called me back and said, hey, Mr. Lee, because of what you did, we want to, like, totally remove the rate that you had, and we're going to put it down to a special rate just for you, and we want to keep the card. But I told him, I said, but at that point, I'm good. Thank you for your service. Thank you for helping me out, but I learned my lesson.
Right. I know that's right. You know, it's amazing that you had mentioned even about, you know, the fear that people have. And God doesn't give us the spirit of fear. He doesn't. So if people are out there with that fear of savings, then it's not coming from God. The enemy doesn't want any of us to save. The enemy would love for every last one of us not to save, so that when something happens or when there's something that we want to do, we go out there and we put it on credit, or we go and spend from our general income that we know we should be paying a bill with, and say, "Well, I'll get it later, or I'll pay it off next week," and then we get behind in our bills if that something like that should happen. So we have talked about a lot of good strategies. I thank you, Shatara. I thank you, Brother Lee, for hanging in there with us, you know, tonight. And, you know, like I always say, y'all always have a seat at the table. One of the things that I'm not going to share some of the other strategies that we have, even though we kind of talked about them in a roundabout way tonight. I'll let Adia do that next week. But what I'm going to do is encourage everybody to go to possessions.resources.finances, and I'm going to start a conversation and want everybody to really just to jump in for this next week to talk about, you know, what Adia said and what goals have you set to save and what was it that you have done in order to save, because people need to hear what other folks have done, and people need to be able to hear what you have already set as a goal to get you to that place. And I think once we do that, I think that'll ease some of the tension. And even if you've already done some things, what are some things that you know others may have done as well? What are some goals that you see others may have set? And Satara, let me tell you, I've seen this 52-week challenge, and I've seen it over pretty much every year for about the last 2 years. And this is on Facebook. And then I had it actually in a printed article, I believe in the USAA magazine, and I saw it and I was like, that is crazy how you just put $1 a week. And really what it was $1 a week, and then next week one is $1, week two is $2, and just how that money goes. And God has really placed on my heart to really start that but I'm going to even start it at a smaller scale. And I think the first place I'm going to do that I may institute it is probably going to be either at church or somewhere within the community, because people need to know, you know, sometimes even, Brother Lee, 52 weeks even seems like a very long time for some folks. So you're going to get some folks to say, I can't do this in 52 weeks. When you look at the chart and you look at what goes on in month seven and how much money you're putting away every single week, it's like, okay, really? How am I going to put away $200-something a month? Because that's what sometimes some people are going to look at. So for me, I would rather somebody, let's go a three-month challenge. You know, give some, like you said, Shatara, let's start small. If it needs to be a three-month challenge, we all start on a three-month challenge. And for me, accountability is going to be key. You know, where are you going to put that $1 at? But doggone, you know if you're going to spend it or not, so putting it at your own house may not be the place. So for me, what I'm being led to do is create an atmosphere where, you know, maybe we'll do something and put something online where we can do a PayPal account, where somebody can do a debit card transaction and put it into account, something so that we can help people be accountable with this money. We can give it to the church and let somebody keep a control or track of it inside of the church, something where we have some type of accountability. So hopefully what we've done is accomplish something. So, Shatara, did you have anything else that you wanted to bring for the table before we shut down for this evening?
No, I just want to say I love this conversation. I love this topic. There's lots more that I can say, but I know we're limited as far as time goes, so I definitely will be back next week.
That's it. I mean, you know, I got a lot more too, but we want to keep people interested, because I'm just a firm believer that, you know, we can't just mention something one time and then expect people to get it.
Right.
That's why at the beginning of the show, you know, we mentioned the scriptures that we mentioned last week. You know, we got to get stuff in our minds and in our spirits so that we can be able to bring those things back up, you know, bring those scriptures back up, bring some of these strategies that we heard back up. So thank you again. And Brother Lee, did you have any final comments?
No, I just echo those same sentiments, because, you know, it's definitely a blessing to hear other strategies and just be able to share with others. You know, it goes back to that said, you know, share those goals with people, because you never know who's listening. You never know what blessing you have provided, or you never know what blessing you may receive yourself. So I'm looking forward to, you know, the next show and, you know, the what you're going to put on the website, so we can, you know, dive into it some more, because it's an endless conversation that's nothing but greatness that can come out of it, because it can help, you know, change those behaviors that many of us have grown up with. And we just, you know, we have to keep making sure this new thought process just permeates through, you know, our families, our friends, and we're just out giving more and making sure, because those blessings that receive are blessings that we can share, you know, with the people and do more in our community. Like, you know, I love when you said you're going to go out and, you know, share it with the community. That's awesome. You know, that's I really love when we can do stuff with the community, because, you know, too often we forget about that. You know, when we go back to the old adage, it takes a village to raise a child. You know, what are we doing to help that village have the resources to raise that child?
Mm-hmm. 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 Amen. We got to do it. We got to do it. So let me end on this note. You know, I was thinking the name of the show, or the title that we posed for tonight, was Successful Simple Strategies. And, again, we'll have a part two next week. So when I thought about successful earlier, you know, we're talking about works rather than focusing on what doesn't work or what didn't work. We're focusing on what actually works. That's what we want to bring to the table. That's what we want you to bring up, because there's a whole bunch of people that will say things negative about what somebody else is trying to do and don't have anything for themselves. So there's people that will say, don't put your money into this, don't do that, don't do this. But then my question to them is, how much do you have in your savings account? So we want people not to even focus on the negative and focus strictly on the positive. Let's talk about what is actually working. And although I do see where there's some value in understanding what doesn't work, I got you. Where, you know, some value in understanding what didn't work for you, that's not the concern. Because what didn't work for you doesn't mean that that same thing won't work for me.
Right.
Let's put it out there and let people decide for themselves what's going to work for them. And then we can move forward to what, you know, will actually work for me in the future. And simple. My thing with this whole notion of simple, y'all, is it doesn't take a rocket scientist to start saving money. If you don't have any money, that's a different story. But I think there's enough of us who have jobs, who are employed, who may have retirement savings or whatever. There's things that we can do that can help that person who doesn't have anything to start saving. So asking those simple questions as a starting point. The 52-week challenge can start off as a 3-week challenge. You'd be surprised how God can operate on those simple, simple things without us making it complicated. As I said at the beginning of the show, it doesn't take 50 scriptures for us to get into our spirits, for God to get into our spirits, that savings is a godly principle that we all need to be operating by. Because he gave us two. He gave us Proverbs chapter 6 and Proverbs chapter 30. We don't even need to go beyond that to actually get it down into our spirits that is a very, very valuable scripture, or those are very, very valuable scriptures because they're wisdom literature. And wisdom tells me and should tell you that the first person that we seek wisdom from is from God. That's what wisdom literature is about. It's not about me thinking about things of my own strength. It's what God, what are you telling me to do? What are you bringing into my spirit that I need to be doing? And I think when we allow God to direct us like that, God will send people across our paths. I'm just a believer in this. He will send people across our paths with wisdom, such as what Shatara mentioned tonight, and Adia and Brother Dewan. And then he'll also give us things to give to other folks. So it's a two-way street. So I'm talking enough. I got another show that I'm going to be on, ladies and gentlemen. It's called The 7 Principles of Life. And one of our listeners, Sister Eva Bemings of Life Solutions, has asked me to be on the show. So I'll probably be jumping on the air about 9:15. And for those of you who are listening, and if you have nothing else to do before Scandal comes on at 10 o'clock, the dial-in number is 7. I had to say it. My wife will have a candle party, so I don't know how loud it's going to be here. But the telephone office number is area code 712-432-1500, and the access code is 552860#. So, again, the study that I'll be dealing with is the 7 principles of life, and the topic that I'll actually be speaking on is actually authority. So if you don't have anything else to do or if God is leading you, come over and join us on there, and we'll just be back with you next week. Remember, go check out the Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances, and we'll see you next week. God bless you, and we love you. Yeah.